let's move forward. And we've been talking about lost and found. And we've been in some various places. And the fact that when we talk about lost and found, these aren't words that we use here. These are words that Jesus used in Luke 15 when talking about people and their relationship with God. But more than that, God never leaves us without the ability to find him. Because God is always on the search for us. If we take time to talk to God and actually ask God for a stronger faith, God actually honors that request and will grant that. So in other words, when we pray, God listens. Especially in a God-honoring prayer of, help me to see you more clearly in my life. Help me to draw closer to you. When we pray prayers like that, God honors them and says yes. Not only that, but God leaves behind scripture for us as well to learn about and to grow closer to God in the very words that he speaks to us when we read. So in other words, when we just heard readings, I hope you heard that God was speaking to you this morning. Because that is the point of scripture. Not to say, well, you know, John was talking to people too. No, God is talking to us through the scriptures. So in other words, God leaves us tools, resources like prayer and scripture so that they are always available to us to grow closer. Matter of fact, it's more than that. Last week we talked about that when people are seeking, we will find, or they will find, and more accurately, that God will find us. Because if you remember, Jesus says, if you are seeking, you will find. And he was talking about himself. People who are open to seeking and people who are seeking answers are the people who are most open to hearing about the love of God. Matter of fact, our brains are built in such a way that we want to make sense of things even when we don't realize it. In other words, when there are unresolved issues in our life and there are questions that have not been answered and we can't figure it out, what God does, and God built us in such a way that our brain actually works to resolving things even behind the scenes and we're not aware of it. For example, when I was in seminary and I had to take a systematic theology class, which all future pastors have to take a theology class or two. And when I got into systematic theology, my first year in seminary in the spring, it was way over my head. I couldn't make sense of what was going on, and they were talking, and I'd try to write a paper, and the seminary professor would say, try again. And I just thought, what am I doing? I don't get this stuff. I'm not understanding this stuff. And they just said, just keep with it. Don't give up. And so I got through the class well enough. And then over the summer, I was a chaplain, because that's what you have to do. One of the next steps is to be a chaplain. And the funny thing was, when I got back to school in the fall, all that stuff that didn't make sense in the spring, my brain was kind of working behind the scenes, putting it all together so that when I got back to school in the fall, all that stuff that didn't make sense suddenly totally made sense. That we are wired to organize and put things together and make sense of them. And sometimes our brain is working behind the scenes to do that very thing, and it takes time for it to happen. It's like it's organizing or indexing things. Kind of like my Bible program that I use. If I download a new book or it has an update, what it has to do on my computer is it tells me it's indexing it before I can use it. Why is that? It has to go through it. So then I can perform searches and do research and all that kind of stuff. But unless it indexes, I can't actually use the program. It's like downloading and then installing something. Sometimes you get the download, but you haven't installed it yet. And our brains are wired to make sense of things. So when folks are searching for answers for things in their life, of when life has thrown them a curveball, they're looking for answers. And we are the ones who can step up and talk about the love of God. Now, when Jesus had interactions with people, and this is where I want to go today. When Jesus had interactions with people, he didn't try to convince anyone. Think about that. He did not cajole people. He didn't pressure anyone. He didn't twist arms. He didn't even threaten hell to people. He was very low pressure. Matter of fact, he told them, he says, just follow me. Not do this, do that, do the other thing. He says, however, if you follow me, I'm going to turn you into something that you're not already. But there's no pressure. You don't have to. He's not going to make you. He says, just so you know, if you decide to follow me, I'm going to change your life a little bit. Now, when we think about follow me and I will make you into something, I mean, here's the list of things that I like. You know, I wish Jesus would say, you know, follow me and I'll make you more faithful, or I'll make you more disciplined. I know you, Rachel, you would like if I was more organized. Follow me and I will, you know, make you more spiritual or smarter, any number of things we would love for Jesus to say, but he doesn't say any of those things. I mean, I would even like it, follow me and I will make sure that you experience the presence of God every moment of every day so that you will never doubt the existence of God ever. But he doesn't say any of those things. Matter of fact, the thing that he tells them would scare most of us away from even following Jesus. Most of us would walk away. You know, we like the follow me part, but we don't like the second part. And I'm going to get there in a second. But before I get there, when Jesus called his first disciples, he started preaching to the crowds. Probably a small crowd at first because, he's just getting going. And the writers of the Gospels, when he starts preaching, mind you, the recorders of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, don't remember the entire sermon, but they remember the core of what he was saying. And so as Jesus began, he was telling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, that word repent, I've said to you before that when we hear the word repent, we have so much church baggage with that word that we tend to tune out because it sounds like something bad is going to happen, that you better repent. I got to say that with a southern accent. You better repent now. But all it means is change. Jesus says, hey, folks, God is up to something big, and I want you to change your perception. I want you to change your mind. I want you to change your awareness because the kingdom of heaven is near. God is about to do something, and if you don't change your perception, you're going to miss it, which is a way of saying, I hope you're seeking because I'm about to show you something, and if you're not looking, you're going to miss it. And so Jesus kind of primes the pump, if you will, to say, hey, folks, get ready. God is on the move, and I don't want you to miss it. I think those, by the way, that's a postcard I found online. I think those would be great postcards to send out to people, by the way. Like, that would not scare people away from church, right? I mean, holy moly, I was like, wow, that's a postcard. Thanks for visiting. Repent. But when Jesus is priming the pump with this repent message, or change the way you look, or change your perspectives, what he's also saying to us is, by the way, I'm going to do something big because it's about me. And this isn't self-centered talk, but he's about to reveal himself, not only in miracles and teaching, but eventually we're going to get to the point where Jesus goes to the cross, dies, and you think that's the end of the story, but you know, he comes back. So Jesus says, time to turn from your personal busyness and see what I'm going to do. And then some people do. Some people change. Some people kind of wake up from their spiritual slumber to start seeing what Jesus is doing. And some people absolutely miss it. You know the stories. Most of you know the stories of the gospel. Some people just miss this stuff. I can tell you there's lots of stuff that I've missed in my life because I did not wake up in time. There were some college classes I missed because I didn't wake up in time. There was a time that in small town southern Illinois that they were opening a new McDonald's and I wanted to get up and be one of the first people there. I slept through that. Now there's an even better story. This past week, Carl was telling me that a week and a half ago, they were opening a new Chick-fil-A in Moline, Illinois. And one of his friends called him the night before and said, hey, there's a new Chick-fil-A being open. Let's go sit in the parking lot until they open in the morning. And being unemployed, he said, okay. Right? So they wait all night. That's just B-roll there. That's not him. And in the morning, he's one of the first 100 people to go into this new Chick-fil-A. And he gets a little card that allows him one free meal a week for a year. So he gets like 52 chicken sandwich dinners, which is good for not having a job. So You know, I got to applaud him for some kind of get up and go, right? Somewhere. But there's things you can miss. I had a friend who used to collect arrowheads. And he found hundreds of them in his neighborhood. And the reason that he found them was because he was looking for them. Do you know how many arrowheads I found in my lifetime? Guess how often I've gone looking for arrowheads. Seek and you will find, and if you don't, you won't. So Jesus was just getting people ready, including his soon-to-be disciples. And so he gets done preaching, and the summary of that message is, wake up, something's going to happen. And he goes up to Peter and Andrew, two fishermen, right where he is preaching, and he looks at them, and you know what he says? He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Clearly, something resonated in that previous message that caused them to wake up spiritually, to know that Jesus was different. So they said, okay. Yet when we hear that, we like the follow me part. That's pretty low commitment stuff. But that second half causes a lot of us to want to turn away, make you fish for people or fishers of people. I don't want any part of that. You know, follow me and I'll make you spiritual. Follow me and I'll make you smarter. Follow me and I'll make you a better person. I like that stuff. But this fishers of people thing, I'm not so sure. Then Jesus went to the next boat down, and Peter and Andrew were working at one boat. That's their livelihood. They go to James and John. Their dad owns that fishing company. And he says to James and John, same thing. And they leave their father and say, we're going to go fishing, but now we're going to learn to fish for people. We get nervous about this kind of comment, especially within the Lutheran family. But it's interesting that this is how a relationship with God begins, at least the way Jesus did it. It was, come follow me. Just hang out with me. Spend time with me. Watch what I'm doing. No obligation. And that's all he asked of these would-be disciples. But he said, but just so you know, if you do follow me long enough, I'm going to change you to do something, to help you fish and tell others about me. I mean, even that story we heard that Holly read, right? There's Philip who becomes a disciple, and he immediately, Jesus says to Philip, follow me. He does. Then he runs off to his friend Nathaniel and says, by the way, Nathaniel, you weren't with me, but I think I just met the Son of God. And like any sane person, he said, yeah, right. I mean, what would be your response if somebody came up to you today and said, oh, by the way, I just met the Son of God. He's up at Main Street Cupertino. What would you say? Yeah, right. Skeptical, rational, makes sense to me. I kind of like Nathaniel for saying, and he's like, well, where is he from? He's from Galilee, and it was kind of like not the greatest part of the world, and he's like, yeah, can anything good come from there? And Jesus shows up and changes his mind, but before he did, Philip says to Nathaniel, just come and see, no pressure. The invitation was as simple as that, just come and see. But here's the warning, though. Jesus doesn't want to leave us at just follow me. I just want to be clear of the stakes that Jesus lays out for us. He says, come follow me, but I'm not going to leave you there. It's your choice. There's no arm twisting, no cajoling. You can check it out for yourself. But there's going to come to a point where he's going to work on your heart a little bit. He's not going to force it, but it's going to happen. And so he says, I'm going to help you learn how to fish for people. And the way that works for us is maybe we won't say, come and see or follow me, but we might say to somebody, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you come see what Bethel's about? Why don't you come see how God's love works here? You know, we don't do anything too weird. Maybe we show a llama video once in a while, but we're not too weird. But that makes people uncomfortable. I get it. I totally get it. But how God does this depends on you and how God has made you. If you're a reader and you like our library, you might be a person who recommends books to people. Like, hey, I just read this great book that you might want to read. Matter of fact, I've had folks give me books that are like, this was really good, you should read this. We can share books if you're a reader. If you're in tech, it might be apps. If you're a talker, it might be conversations. If you're a caring type, it might be a gift or a card or a meal. If you're handy, it might be fixing something. But there's ways to share Jesus. You still have to use your words, but there are ways to share Jesus depending on how God has made you. But here's the thing. God doesn't want us to be a perpetual gawker. He doesn't always want us to be pew potatoes, you know, like a couch potato, but like a pew potato. God wants to move us from come and see or come and follow into something that is also equally as disconcerting, but Jesus never holds back. Near the end of his ministry, he gathers his disciples, and he says this after 3 years. He says, look, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So now Jesus doesn't launch that on the disciples when they first start following him. He says, just come check me out. He says, but you've been with me for a while, and I want you to know that throughout this time, you've seen all the things that I've done. And if you want to go farther, it's about taking up your cross and following me. Now, that's kind of dramatic talk because, as we know, Jesus goes to the cross. But for some of us, it's not martyrdom. Some parts of the world, it actually is. But for us, it's not about dying. But it's about us dying to the things that used to hold our attention. The things that we would spend money on and spend our time on and places we would go. Maybe those things aren't as important to us because we're taking up the cross of Christ and following him rather than our own desires. Even Paul, who had the world by the tail. Holly read this a little bit ago in Philippians. Religious, well-respected, probably had means, a citizen in both Israel and in the Roman. I mean, he had everything by the tail. And by the time he gets to where he's at, when he writes Philippians, he says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, who for his sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, trash, garbage, that I might gain Christ. So that's the span of spiritual growth, from come and follow to come and die, or at least die to the things that once were important to you. Notice this, that as we grow closer to God, our priorities change. As we grow closer to Jesus, we also grow closer to heaven. And the things that used to be important aren't so much. And as we are in this process, wherever we're at, spiritually speaking, from come and follow to come and die, Jesus says right in the middle of that, he tells us to go fishing for people. Amen.